of a pair for piano four hands, played there with just two hands by Sarah Walker on the piano at the Cabaret au Lapin Agile in Paris. And it ends Sarah's music feature, Eric Satie Walks to Work, with contributions from Satie experts Gilbert Delors and Ornella Volta, and thanks too to Robert Orlidge for research advice and help. The programme was first broadcast last December. And you can find photographs, maps and some further information to complement the programme on the Radio 3 website. Well, this is BBC Radio 3. We're on 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and also online. It's just after 1 o'clock. Time now for the news, read by David Cornett.
There are growing fears of a humanitarian crisis in Tripoli following the fighting earlier this week, which saw the Libyan capital fall to rebel forces. Supplies of water and food are scarce and much of the city is without power. A British nurse at one hospital told the BBC that surgeons were unable to carry out many operations because of a lack of medical supplies. A former Libyan diplomat has been identified by the Daily Telegraph as a suspect in the killing of WPC Yvonne Fletcher in London in 1984. The paper says Abdul Majid Salah Ameri was named in a review of the case for the Crown Prosecution Service. The Foreign Office says it stands ready to help Scotland Yard detectives conduct interviews in Libya as soon as conditions allow. Officials in Afghanistan say that at least four people have been killed and many others injured in two car bombings in southern Afghanistan. The first blast, outside a bank in Lashkar Gah in Helmand province, was followed less than 3 hours later by another in Kandahar city. The Indian Parliament is debating proposals for an anti-corruption bill in an apparent attempt to persuade the leading campaigner, Anna Hazare, to end a hunger strike, which is the centre of nationwide attention. Mr. Hazare, a follower of Mahatma Gandhi, has been fasting for 12 days. 3 million people on the east coast of the United States have been told to evacuate their homes as Hurricane Irene approaches. Several states have declared emergencies ahead of the arrival of the 90-mile-an-hour hurricane. Police in Kent have appealed for help from the public after two hoax devices led to most of the centre of Canterbury being closed. A suspicious device was found on a railway line and a small fire was reported inside a shop yesterday afternoon. And the weather, sunny spells and scattered showers will develop across much of the UK today, with some showers turning heavy and thundery at times, especially across North and East England. The Northern Isles, though, will turn increasingly wet and windy during the day, and these conditions will spread across much of Northern Scotland overnight. BBC News and Weather at exactly 3 minutes past one.
Read by David Cornett. I'm Jill Anderson. Very good afternoon to you. In an hour's time, we have our Proms Chamber Music Concert, a second chance to hear last Monday's recital, a flute and piano recital given by Emmanuel Pau and Eric Lesage, flute sonatas by Martinu and Prokofiev and Henri Dutilleux's Sonatine. That's at 2 o'clock. But now it's time for today's early music show with Catherine Bott.
Hello, are you sitting comfortably, perhaps sipping a restorative coffee from your favourite mug? Or maybe you're enjoying a grumpy old listener moment, complaining fruitlessly against the takeover of our high streets by coffee shops and all their Rococo potions whose titles end in Chino. Well, either way, you're being deeply, authentically Baroque, because caffeine dependency is nothing new. Coffee came to Europe from the Arab world in the late 16th century. In the year 1600, Pope Clement VIII pronounced it OK for Catholics to drink, and the first European coffee house opened in Venice in 1645. This stimulating new beverage was officially good for you. In 1661, an English pamphlet declared that 'tis extolled for drying up the crudities of the stomach and for expelling fumes out of the head. Hope that hasn't put you off your next mouthful. But coffee houses were definitely for William and the Outlaws, not for Violet Elizabeth. Women were banned from them in England. They got their own back in 1674 with the Women's Petition Against Coffee, which claimed that the excessive use of that newfangled, abominable, heathenish liquor was inclined to unman their husbands. But in Germany, it was a different story. For today's early music show, we're off to Leipzig, where Zimmermann's Coffee House and the Collegium Musicum played a significant part in establishing a new musical idea, public concerts. And young ladies in Leipzig were defying their fathers and drinking coffee every day, according to Bach. Ah, how sweet is the taste of coffee, more delicious than 1,000 kisses. Emma Kirkby doing the Java Jive with Christopher Hogwood and the Academy of Ancient Music in a winning aria from Bach's Coffee Cantata, the story of a pert young miss who'd almost rather have coffee than a handsome husband. The Coffee Cantata was a little operetta for grouchy father and wily daughter. You couldn't imagine anything more different from Bach's usual cantata offerings, but that's because this one was written not for a Sunday service, but to be enjoyed by people on a Friday night out. We'll return to Bach later on, but to get to the roots of the Collegium Musicum tradition that was so important in Leipzig, we have to go back a few decades. It's easy to speed-read the phrase Collegium Musicum as music college, but it's more about musical colleagues, like-minded people getting together to play and sing. And despite the Latin title, it was German-speaking countries that went for the idea. From the late 16th to the mid-18th centuries, if you lived in a sizeable town, or more especially a university town, then you'd probably have come across a Collegium Musicum, a club for music lovers and amateur musicians alike, with regular gatherings where town met gown. There was a new middle class coming up to occupy the space between chapel and palace, between liturgical music and courtly entertainments. So the professional classes met at a Collegium Musicum to play and sing, or else to enjoy the latest offering from the town cantor, played perhaps by his students. In early 18th century Leipzig, a distinguished university town, they might have heard music by Johann Kuhnau, Bach's predecessor as cantor of St. Thomas's Church. He was a busy man, teaching at the Thomasschule and at the university, directing the music at four churches, and being responsible for the city musicians. Here's his motet, Tristis Anima Mea, My Soul is Sorrowful, performed by the King's Consort.
Thank you.
doleful motet foretelling the crucifixion by Kuhnau, sung by a rather distinguished choir of soloists under the banner of the King's Consort, directed by Robert King. Now, that's not as jolly as the coffee cantata we began with, but nor is it specific to a church service, so it's possible that Kuhnau might have taken his choristers along to a Collegium Musicum meeting with that motet in their hands to divert the music lovers of Leipzig. Or is it? He wasn't very kindly disposed towards the whole idea. When ambitious young law student Georg Philipp Telemann established Leipzig's first Collegium Musicum in 1702, Kuhnau was the musical big cheese of the town, and his nose was put severely out of joint. He complained that many of his graduating students from the Thomasschule headed straight off to where things are certainly more fun, where they can perform in operas, in the public coffee houses, and even perform music at times when it's forbidden. Well, students will be students, and Telemann's musical activities were very popular, both in and out of the Collegium Musicum he founded. And this is the piece which made him, too, a big cheese in Leipzig, his setting of Psalm 6 for tenor, oboe, violin and continuo. Its first performance was such a success that Telemann's name was made among his fellow students, 40 of whom joined his new Collegium Musicum. We'll hear his setting of Psalm 6 now. O Lord, punish me not in thy displeasure.
Meine Seele ist sehr erstaunt. Verfallen vor Trost. welche Familie über Täter. Reiche Familie über Täter, über Täter. Reiche Familie, reiche Familie, reiche Familie über Täter. Reiche Familie über Täter. Reichet von mir, ihr Übeltäter, denn der Herr hört mein Fragen. Mein Gebet nimmt der Herr an, denn der Herr hört mein Fragen. Mein Gebet nimmt der Herr an. Es müssen alle meine Feinde zur Schau werden. Es müssen alle meine Feinde zur Schau werden. Und sie erschrecken, sich zurückkehren und zur Schande werden. Sich zurückkehren und zur Schande werden. Zur Schande.
Benoît Allier was the tenor soloist with the Balthasar Neumann Ensemble in Telemann's Ach Herr, strafe mich nicht in deinem Zorn, the piece that made his name in Leipzig while he was still a student. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, tracing the development of the public concert in Germany from its roots in the Collegium Musicum. In 1708, 6 years after Telemann had established the first Collegium Musicum in Leipzig, Johann Friedrich Fasch, also a law student, started up a second. Talented students have always shown enterprise in getting a foot in the professional door. And these informal music clubs were very helpful. They were nothing to do with the university. The ideal meeting place for a Collegium Musicum was a spacious coffee house, where their music making could be heard and enjoyed for nothing by the general public. It hadn't yet occurred to any coffee house proprietor to charge for the music. Fasch was a former student of Kuhnau at the Thomasschule, and his first musical offerings owed rather a lot to Telemann's fluid style. But they went down well and gave Fasch the confidence to set up his own Collegium Musicum to get his compositions performed. In 1710, Fasch found himself in dispute with his old teacher Kuhnau. When plans were being made for a big university service in St. Paul's Church, Kuhnau assumed that the organist's position was his by right. But he was wrong. The tone of his letter of complaint to the church authorities gives a hint as to why he was not a very popular chap. I had hoped that my services would be required, so yesterday it was not without chagrin that I discovered that the organ key had been fetched from me last Friday in order that someone else might play it. I am already a member of the university staff. I would have been able to participate in this service too. May it please your magnificent high nobles and esteemed lords to listen to my plea that the organ key be returned to my hand. But his haughty request was not granted. It was Fasch and his Collegium Musicum that provided the music for that service. Something by Fasch now. This is his Sinfonia in G major. Thank you.
Thank you.
Günter Wich directed Capella Coloniensis in a sinfonia by Fasch. In time, both Fasch and Telemann left Leipzig, Fasch to travel and broaden his musical horizons, and Telemann heading first to Frankfurt, then to Hamburg. When he got to Hamburg, he formed a Collegium Musicum there, resurrecting the one formed back in 1660 by Matthias Weckmann, which had anticipated the one in Leipzig by 42 years. Weckmann had founded his Collegium with the express intent of presenting top-quality music to the general public. He combined church singers with the excellent town musicians, sometimes 50 in number, for performances every Thursday in the refectory of the cathedral, not only of music by Weckmann himself, but new works by his German contemporaries, and from further afield, Rome, Vienna, Venice. They were the first public concerts in Hamburg. So here, moving back a little in time, is Weckmann's Sonata No. 9, written for the Hamburg Collegium Musicum.
Thank you.
La Fenice, playing a sonata by Matthias Weckmann, founder of the original Hamburg Collegium Musicum. It was a huge success in his lifetime, but fell to bits when he died, until Telemann revived it. The departure of Telemann and Fasch didn't stop the momentum behind the Collegium movement back in Leipzig. In 1729, Fasch's group came under the wing of Johann Sebastian Bach, firmly established by now at the Thomaskirche. They played at several Leipzig venues on an ad hoc basis, but coffee drinkers and music lovers alike could be sure of hearing them every Friday night at Zimmermann's coffee house. Zimmermann had two adjoining ground floor rooms in Catherine Street. In the summer, the Collegium performed al fresco in Zimmermann's coffee gardens, just outside the east gate of the city. Here's a flavour of the music-making on offer from a contemporary account. Both the public musical concerts or assemblies that are held here weekly are still flourishing steadily. The one is conducted by Mr. Johann Sebastian Bach and is held once a week in Zimmermann's coffee house in the Katharinenstrasse on Friday evenings from 8 to 10. The other is conducted by Mr. Johann Gottlieb Görner, music director at St. Paul's and organist at St. Thomas's. It's also held once weekly in the Schellhafer Hall in the Klostergasse, Thursday evenings from 8 to 10. The participants in these musical concerts are chiefly students here, and there are always good musicians among them, so that sometimes they become famous virtuosos. Any musician is permitted to make himself publicly heard, and there are such listeners as know how to judge the qualities of an able musician. Note the word concert creeping in. In this intimate and congenial atmosphere, the Collegium performed orchestral suites, concertos, chamber music and secular cantatas. No programmes from Zimmermann's have survived, but music by Bach would obviously have been a regular feature, and harpsichord concertos were very popular.
Thank you.
Richard Egar was the soloist, with the Academy of Ancient Music directed by Andrew Manzi in the zestful presto movement from Bach's Harpsichord Concerto in F minor, BWV 1056, composed for the Leipzig Collegium Musicum. A few years ago, when Radio 3 cleared the schedule for the complete works of Bach, one of the most enjoyable days was when we recorded a mock Evening at a Coffee House in a famous modern equivalent, the Troubadour, in Earl's Court. As presenter, I had the job of persuading our invited audience to stop acting like well-behaved concertgoers and feel free to talk among themselves, enjoy their refreshments, and applaud noisily and enthusiastically, as if they were at Zimmermann's. After a while, it came easily to them, partly because the playing was terrific, partly because most refreshments of choice came in glasses, not cups, but we did get a bit of a feeling of what fun it must have been to be there. Inevitably, Bach's coffeehouse entertainments were the instruments of their own destruction, as the seed was sown for the rise of the public concert, subscription seasons, more formality, and a farewell to the rattle of china. By the middle of the 18th century, the term collegium musicum was applied mainly to university lectures. There was a bit of a revival in the early 20th century. In 1908, 200 years after Fasci's collegium musicum had begun, Hugo Riemann gave the name to his new musicological institute at Leipzig University. Other German universities revived the idea too. It actually predates what we think of as the early music movement. But I want to end by remembering, as well as the word collegium, the words convivial and coffee. Take off the cafetiere cosy and pour another cup, as we return to Bach's coffee cantata, written in 1732, for performance by his Collegium Musicum at Zimmermann's Coffee House. The final trio of the cantata is sung now by Emma Kirkby, Rogers Covey Crump and David Thomas, with Christopher Hogwood directing the Academy of Ancient Music. I've made a rather free translation, with acknowledgements and gratitude to Dr. Niles Crane of Seattle. Just as a cat must catch mice, so young women must have their coffee. Mum likes a mochaccino, granny loves an espresso. So why shouldn't daughter order a double decaf non-fat latte, medium foam, dusted with just the faintest whisper of cinnamon?
Die Katzen sind das Nasenlicht,
The trio Die Katze lässt das Mausen nicht from Bach's Coffee Cantata was sung in that recording by Emma Kirkby, Rogers Coffee Crump and David Thomas with the Academy of Ancient Music directed by Christopher Hogwood. And that ends today's Early Music Show, which was presented by Catherine Bott and produced in Manchester by Sam Phillips. Tomorrow, at the same time, Lucy Skeeping examines the life and music of the organist and composer Louis Couperin. And the Early Music Show now has its own weekly podcast featuring edited highlights from the programmes. Full details are available via the Radio 3 homepage. In an hour's time, at 3 o'clock, we go live to Cadogan Hall in London for our Proms Saturday matinee. The BBC Singers Symphony, directed by Stevie Wishart, and the conductor Robert Hollingworth will be performing music by Hildegard of Bingen, Benjamin Britten, Harrison Birtwistle, and a new piece by Stevie Wishart, a BBC commission, and it'll be its first performance of Out of This World. That's in an hour's time. But now we've another chance to hear a concert given at Cadogan Hall in London. Here's Catherine Bott.
Welcome to Cadogan Hall for the sixth of our weekly Proms Chamber Music Recitals. If you were listening 3 Mondays ago and you're a lover of the French Rococo repertoire, then you'll have relished the sweet sounds of 2 baroque flutes playing Couperin. Well, today, a chance to revel in the playing of a master of the modern flute, Emmanuel Pahud. He's been heard regularly at the Proms over the last 20 years, and indeed, he's already appeared once this season, giving UK and London premieres of concertos by Elliot Carter and Marc-André Dalbavie. Right now, though, he's joined by his regular pianist, Éric Lesage, for a programme of 3 works from the 1940s. They open with the sonata by the Czech composer Bohuslav Martinů, who began that decade by moving to New York to escape a Nazi blacklist. His American life took some time to get used to, but it proved very productive. He wrote a symphony a year. In June 1945, after finishing his 4th symphony, Martinů took his wife on holiday to Cape Cod in Massachusetts, where they relaxed in a seaside cottage, and he wrote the flute sonata we're going to hear now. It's a predominantly sunny work, with a passionate heart, and in the finale, the quintessentially American call of the bird he heard every night in Cape Cod, the whippoorwill. To play Martinu's flute sonata, we welcome flautist Emmanuel Pahud and pianist Éric Lesage.
Thank you.
Thank you.